Welcome to the Choose You Netcast. This is Jim Langlois with a word from Joshua 24:15. Choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's my prayer that this netcast will encourage and cheer you on as we join forces to draw the line in the sand, defending our faith and our households in the resurrection power of Jesus. Join me each weekday as we dig deeply into God's amazing word and bring up the rich treasures of his blessings. Are you ready?
Choose you this day whom you will serve. But that's for me and my house, me and my house, me and my house. I said choose you this day whom you will serve. But that's for me and my house, me and my house, me and my house.
Good morning, NetWorld, and thank you for tuning in. We're continuing with our series, The Gospel of Christ. Our text scripture is Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. And it says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." You see, there's more to the gospel of Christ than simple salvation and forgiveness from sin. The gospel of Christ is the universal rescue protocol for all in any given situation. I'm going to say that again. The gospel of Christ is the universal rescue protocol for all in any given situation. The gospel is the story, the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. This particular story begins in Genesis chapter 1, all the way through the last verse in the book of Revelation, and in reality, it continues forever. This is because Jesus has always existed. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." And Jesus will continue to exist forever. In Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Mark starts his writing declaring the gospel in his very first sentence. Mark chapter 1, verse 1, he says, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." The books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are called the four gospels. Why? Because they're about the birth, the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. The gospel is the story of the redemption of man. It's the story of a lost son who God the Father wants back. It's the story of unwavering and unconditional love beyond what any man can ever offer. Here's an interesting question. What takes us to the gospel? 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10 says, "For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death." So the journey to the gospel is like this. Starts out with godly sorrow, then repentance, and then salvation. We must understand our need for a Savior. Luke chapter 15, verse 7, "I say to you that likewise there'll be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 just persons who need no repentance." If we don't believe or know our deepest need, then there's no purpose for the divine exchange, our sin for his righteousness. But John the Baptist preached it in Matthew 3:2. Jesus preached it in Matthew 4:17. Peter preached it in Acts 3:19. Paul preached it in Acts 20 and 21. And John gave the revelation of it in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 19. What's the message? The message is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's the gospel, the universal rescue protocol for all. Jesus said in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." One thing we have yet to discuss is the last part of our text, Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. And it says, "And then the end will come." Let me read the entire verse, Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come." And then the end will come. Well, what about this? Well, think about this. First, because of the gospel, we are no longer lost. What happened? Well, someone told us the truth. Now, are we willing to pass this truth to someone else? Why should we? Well, because the end is coming. When Jesus preached the gospel, it was called the gospel of the kingdom. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." However, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, it's called this gospel of the kingdom. This transition shows the change from the ministry of Jesus to the post-resurrection ministry of the disciples. And Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20, mentions the end of the age. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always," here we go, "even to the end of the age." Well, what end and what age is this referring to? The King James Version Bible commentary says, "Then the end shall come" refers to the end of the church age. Matthew Henry's concise commentary says, "Our Lord foretells the preaching of the gospel in all the world. The end of the world shall not be till the gospel has done its work." And when we speak of the church age, what is that? I found a good explanation at gotquestions.org. The question was, what is the church age and where does the church age fit in biblical history? And their answer was, "An age is a historical period of time or an era. Some historians divide human history into many epochs and name them according to their defining characteristics, such as Stone Age, Bronze Age, Iron Age, Middle Ages, Modern Age, Postmodern Age, etc. Biblical history, too, can be divided into different eras. When those divisions emphasize God's interaction with his creation, we call them dispensations. More broadly, biblical history can be divided into two periods, roughly following the division of the Old and New Testaments, the Age of the Law and the Church Age. The Church Age is the period from Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 to the rapture foretold in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It is called the Church Age because it covers the period in which the church is on earth. It corresponds with the dispensation of grace. Jesus predicted the church age in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, when he said, "I will build my church." Jesus has kept his promise, and his church has now been growing for almost 2,000 years. The church is composed of those individuals who by faith accepted Christ as Jesus their Savior and Lord. Therefore, the church is people rather than denominations or buildings. It is the body of Christ of which he is the head. And the Greek word ecclesia, translated church, means a called-out assembly. The church is universal in scope, but meets locally in smaller bodies. The church age comprises the entire dispensation of grace. The law was given through Moses, and grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. For the first time in history, God actually indwells his creatures permanently and eternally. In other dispensations, the Holy Spirit was always present and always at work, but he would come upon the people temporarily. The church age is marked by the Holy Spirit's permanent indwelling of his people. And the church age will end when God's people are raptured out of the world and taken to be with the Lord, and that's out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The rapture will be followed in heaven by the marriage supper of the Lamb as the church, the bride of Christ, receives her heavenly reward. Until then, the church carries on in hope, exhorted to stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not vain. So how do we, the church, love the lost enough? Tell them the gospel. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost, and put them together, and we get, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Do we love the lost enough to tell them the gospel? I believe you'll agree with me. Yes, we do. The book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. You see, the gospel of Christ is the universal rescue protocol for all. Let's finish out with some confessions of our faith. So say this after me. By grace, I am saved through faith. It is not of myself. It's the gift of God. I love God, spirit, soul, and body. I love my neighbor as myself. I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. He is the Lord who heals me. He sent his word and healed me and delivered me from destruction. No evil will befall me, and no plague will come near my dwelling. For he has given his angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. Goodness and mercy follows me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he in me than he who is in the world. Above all things, I prosper and have health just as my soul prospers. Love those confessions. They're very helpful. I have life, and I have it more abundantly. God makes all grace abound to me, and I have all sufficiency in all things. Nothing shall by any means hurt me. I am Christ's, Abraham's seed, and heir to the promise. I am blessed coming in and blessed going out. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Well, this concludes our series on the gospel of Christ. So tune in tomorrow, same time, same channel. Can't wait, and we'll see you there.
You have been listening to the Choose You Netcast with Jim Langlois. If you have enjoyed this program, you can find out more about Jim Langlois Ministries on the Master's House website at tmhnow.org. That's tmhnow.org. On the Media tab, you can listen to many more messages, subscribe to my daily devotional emails, and follow the link to my blog site. If you'd like to write me or become a financial partner with this ministry, my address is The Master's House, Post Office Box 1568, Mechanicsville, Virginia, 23116. That's The Master's House, Post Office Box 1568, Mechanicsville, Virginia, 23116. Online donations can also be made at tmhnow.org, and my email address is pastorjim@tmhnow.org. This is Jim Langlois saying be blessed, you and your whole household. Until next time.
Choose you this day, but that's for me and my house, me and my house, me and my house.